What's up, listeners? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the In the End Zone podcast. Just a quick heads up before we get started, you can find this episode as well as some of our past recordings on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can find us on there by searching the Settle Down Podcast on both of those platforms. Also, be sure to check out some of our social media platforms. We use Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. You can find us by searching at Settle Down Media on all three of those sites. Thanks for doing that, and enjoy episode 32 of the In the End Zone podcast. Peace.
Recorded.
Ha. We're live. We're so live. We're live and lit right now, dude.
Yo. Welcome back, fellas. How we feeling?
We're here. It's
been 2 weeks.
Two weeks. Well, kinda.
A little iffy 2 weeks. We did a live stream of the draft, which was a lot of fun. And now we're going to do a summary of what happened with it. So before we get into it, how are you guys doing? How are you guys' weeks? Anthony?
Good.
Could be better, except I'm potentially reliving a last year of the Boston Bruins. So we'll see if, you know, tomorrow gets better, you know? A little bit
nervous about that. Okay, but hold on. I know we're going to talk football, but I kind of want to get your opinion on this live.
Okay.
If they win tomorrow, and I say them, the Leafs, win tomorrow, are you pooping yourself?
Yes. Yes, 100%.
Are you nervous already?
I am nervous, yes, because of last year. We've seen this before. The Panthers beat the Bruins in Game 5 in overtime, just like how the Leafs did it yesterday in Game 5. We had the 3-1 lead this year. We had the 3-1 lead last year.
Yeah.
A coincidence?
You know, I will say it's a bit scary.
It's scary. I'm sorry. I don't care that they're the Leafs and
the OT loss was so tough too, Ant. It was tough.
It was
you
tough.
You guys had and so many chances to win.
So many. And honestly, really, I don't blame Swayman for any of the two goals that were scored. I don't. Because
He was standing on his head.
He was doing really good. Honestly, our defense was doing really well, but we were on defense more than we were on offense. We were tired.
For sure.
And it just sucked. But a little nervous. But other than that, though, doing good. Doing good. Currently, right now, football talk.
Go ahead. No. You're good.
I was going to say that currently, football talk with what's going on with me right now as well. Our dynasty draft just started. So that's pretty exciting stuff. I don't know who I'm going to pick yet because I have the 10th spot in the first round out of 12. So we're kind of deciding on that. I've had a few trade offers, declined them all because none of them would be in my favor. And my team honestly is pretty good. I just need a receiver and that's pretty much all I really need, but we'll see.
Jake Bobo. What happens.
I dropped him.
All right.
You can't drop him. Well, Keaton, how's your week then?
Good. Real quick, Anthony, talking about the Bruins, would you say that Boston is bombing again? Anyway, my week's been good. My week's been great. That job interview I had.
Yeah, how'd it go? It wasn't good.
Boston Bruins, Florida Panthers. That's how it went.
What happened? Why was it so bad?
Was up 3-1, got in the interview. It was a phone interview. I was doing it from work. My phone kept overheating. So when my phone overheats, I lose cell service. So then I kept dropping out. Someone died at the golf course across the street. And so there was ambulances and fire trucks going back and forth the whole time. And then she asked me the job description. I got the wrong job description. So yeah, they said it's not gonna work out this time. I was like, all right, cool, yeah, no worries. The workload was gonna be brutal.
How did you get the wrong job description though?
Because the person I was taught, so the person I reached out to about the job was describing her position. And then when I went to go Google the job position, I accidentally Googled hers without thinking. So this whole time I was taking notes. I'm like, oh yeah, this like sounds good and all this. And then I go in the interview, like, all confident, like, yeah, so it's like this and this and this. And she goes, no, what you described is that person's job. And I'm like, well, there goes that. I about hung up right there.
Fuck, dude. That is so, really unfortunate.
That's tough.
That's fun.
Sorry, yeah, Keaton.
Brutal. That's okay. Fun. We're still employed, so it's not that big a deal. Yeah. So, although if my work here is about this, God,
that's not ideal.
I'm not employed anymore. So,
Wait, what'd you say?
My work here is that I got an interview. Maybe I'm not employed anymore, but that's okay. I'm taking that risk.
Well, so,
McDonald's always hiring.
I think he's joking. So,
yeah, I not didn't do an interview. It was like an interview
allegedly.
For like a
allegedly new, he did an interview.
It was like an interview allegedly. For like a new podcast company. Called called Brazzers.
Oh my god! What We're was your name now? For them?
Well, I mean, you could see I'm literally in the I'm in the headquarters right now, dude. Meaty mutt, dude.
Game to life.
With the camera right there, ready to go and everything.
Dude, look at this, man. I already got like four people. The casting couch, huh? Anyway, all right.
Oh god, you actually have the camera too in the background. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah,
brother, I'm set up. Like I'm literally, I have the casting couch right here.
Look at that right there. Point at it. Point at the camera.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, there it is.
There it is.
Oh, yep. God.
All right. Well, anyway. Right.
So the draft, fellas, 2024 draft has been completed.
It was a good one. That was a lot of fun. If you guys have not yet watched that video, go watch that video because we live stream all 4 hours of it.
Mm-hmm.
All four now, if you hours go first round.
And to that point, if you guys go to our YouTube channel and you look at our videos, you won't see it. There's a specific tab for our lives, and it's going to be there. It's just going to say first round draft coverage, whatever. Yeah. In the end zone, all that fun stuff. So
I want to give a round of applause to us. 4 hours streaming.
Damn, we cooked. We cooked. I'm not going to lie.
Also, over 200 views, I believe, which is the first time ever on one of our videos. So
yeah, it was our most viewed video ever.
Continue to up those views. But let's get into it. The draft was fucking crazy. I believe the first thing that we're going to talk about is the best NFL drafts from the different teams that we think had the best draft. Keaton, you kind of made this up. Who were you thinking?
Yeah, so for me, I'm going to go to my team. Yeah, so the team that I really loved their draft was Indianapolis. I think Indy had a lot of options and a lot of positions that they needed to be filled, and they're one of the few teams that I could see, even with a not-so-great draft, still being able to compete for a playoff spot, if not something more. That being said, they absolutely smoked the draft. They needed five crucial pieces, and that was a tight end, a cornerback, a safety, a wide receiver, and an edge rusher. They started out the draft. They got Leetu Latu, edge rusher from UCLA. This guy's an absolute hound dog. This is the one guy I wanted for Seattle if they were going to go a defensive player. He's just an absolute beast. Basically, I would say he's probably a top 10 player in the entire draft. He was number two at his position by ESPN, but I don't think that that matters much. I think he's an impact guy. He's just going to go there and dominate. A lot of what I see from him is a little bit of a Micah Parsons feel. He's a little bit bigger than Micah Parsons. I think he's got that same explosiveness. And it's really hard to just guard him. I truly think he can line up on any position on that line and dominate you. The only thing they didn't get was a tight end. So that was the one thing I noticed, but they still have Mo Alie-Cox, who I still think can be a pretty substantially impactful player when Gardner Minshew's not throwing him the ball. So we're hoping that Anthony Richardson's healthy. I want to say that the biggest piece that I think that they got in this draft was Adonai Mitchell from Texas.
He's like that, dude. I don't know why he dropped so much.
Well, and this is my biggest thing. There were some character issues that were published right after he was drafted. Well, I guess the day before the draft, there was some character issues that were published about him. And, you know, he doesn't have a good work ethic and he's got a, you know, personality problem. Obviously, it was like unnamed sources say, so it kind of tanked his draft stock. Although, I mean, if there's anything that comes out of it, Andy gets a dog. He dominated Seattle second, Washington secondary in that college football semifinal game. He runs a 4.3 40-yard dash, one of the most elite route running skills in the entire draft, other than like the big three of Marvin Harrison, Romo Odunze, and the other boy's name, I forget. Malik Nabers. I think he's probably the fourth best wide receiver in that whole class. And to get him in the late second round pick off of a trade is a really good move. Yeah. Lastly, they got some really big players. Matt Goncaves, I forget how you say his name, out of Pitt. He had a really, really, really good year for Pitt. Not one of the bigger players. He's 6'6", 327. So he's pretty huge, but he's not super tall, which is ironic because 6'6". But he plays bigger than his size. I think he's going to be an impact player. And then they got, you know, two safeties. They got a cornerback, a center. So they went two offensive linemen back to back. They finished with a defensive tackle, and in between there, they also got a cornerback. So I thought they had a really good draft. They're obviously super close to being a very, very, very good team in a stacked division. And I think this clearly put them over the edge, assuming Anthony Richardson stays healthy. So,
yep.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Zach, what about you, man? Ant, go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. Either way.
Right?
Yeah. The team that I saw was the Cardinals. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that they're going to go to playoffs or anything like that this upcoming season, but for where they're at right now, I think it was a great draft overall. Mm-hmm. For starters, let's just point out the obvious. Marvin Harrison Jr., they secured him in the fourth spot. To replace Mr. Hollywood Brown, since he went to the Chiefs. So I think that was a really good move on them, picking up the best wide receiver prospect. Also, they locked down on the cornerbacks and whatnot, which I thought was very needed. It was needed a lot for that Cardinals defense, I feel like. I feel like they were slacking a lot when it came to the defense. They got an edge. They got a few edge rushers. They got a guard as well. They also picked up a tight end. But mainly from what I'm seeing from when they drafted, they got two receivers. They got like two, three cornerbacks, two edges, and a tight end, and a guard, and a running back. So overall, though, I think they did a great job. I think it's a great start for where they're kind of like in that rebuild, I guess. It helps Kyler Murray out a lot too. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited to kind of see how that plays out for them, because they have been kind of on that low side. They've been almost to that playoff spot, but then not really. And then they've just dropped. Yeah, so
not anymore.
I'm excited to kind of see like how that's going to play out for them, because overall they did a great job with the draft.
That point though, too, a good point. They had four third round draft picks.
Yeah.
And two first round picks. So them hitting on a lot of these and getting like really important positions of need, as well as like backup positions in case some of these don't work out.
No, they had four 3-round picks and two first round picks.
That's what I said.
You said four fourth round, I thought.
Oh, I meant to say four third round picks.
Maybe I heard that wrong. My bad.
Anyway,
yeah.
They had seven draft picks within the first 90 players. And I think everybody they got was an impact player, at least through those first three rounds. So, yeah, and I think you're totally spot on, man. It is a solid draft for a team that, I mean, really, if they don't start performing now, they're gonna lose Kyler. Yeah. Like that's and I think Marvin Harrison thing is the yes, exactly, yeah. So Zach, what did you think, man?
But I'll say two things. One, I love both of those teams. I love Indy. I think they're gonna be really good next year. And I really do like the Cardinals and Kyler, but they need a lot of help. However, the team that I think had the best draft was the Steelers. And I initially thought I was going to talk about the Bears. I'm going to talk about both. I think the Bears had an A+, maybe not an A+, an A draft. But the more I look at it, the more I think I'm kind of glazing Caleb, and I'm going to just calm down a little bit with it. They picked Caleb. Again, I think is the best quarterback I've ever watched come out of college. They picked Rome, two great picks, right? And then they pick an offensive tackle to help with Caleb. And then they pick a punter. And in the fourth, to me, that's a little iffy. And it's risky. Think those first three picks are so good that I'm going to give them an A, but they're not my favorite team or the team that I think had the best draft. And that is, like I said, the Steelers. The Steelers' needs were a wide receiver, a cornerback, a center, a defensive tackle, and an offensive tackle. Their first pick was Troy God, I'm going to say this wrong.
Fautanu.
Thank you. And he was a big guy that you wanted, Keaton, from Washington. You got to watch
him. He was the guy that I wanted, yeah.
Dude, he is vicious. He is an insane run blocker, super confident. I think he's going to be extremely good. And then they go out and they pick Zach Frazier from West Virginia. Again, a really good offensive lineman from there. They pick Roman Wilson, who was a wide receiver from Michigan. I don't really know much about him, but I do know that he was a pretty good wide receiver in college. This was a stacked wide receiver class, so I really wouldn't be surprised if there was 10 good wide receivers from it. And then who I think, again, we'll talk about this a little bit later, but one of the best draft picks of the whole draft, maybe one of the biggest sleepers, in Peyton Wilson from NC State. The dude is, I want to look up his stats because he truly is a freak. He was barely under 6'4", so let's just say 6'4", round up 6'4", and he weighed 233 pounds and ran a 4.3 40-yard dash as a middle linebacker. He is a freak of nature. I honestly think he's going to be great. Then they pick up Mason McCormick from South Dakota State, offensive guard. I heard he was pretty good. Didn't really get much of a pre-draft analysis, I would say, on him. And then they go with Logan Lee and Ryan Watts, who were an offensive guard, a defensive tackle, and a cornerback. So they basically filled all their needs but an offensive tackle. And really, I mean, I don't think that they're going to be very, very good, but that division's so stacked that you need to have a good draft, and especially a good draft around Russell Wilson, who could still be decent, but we haven't really seen him be the Seattle Russell Wilson that we've got used to kind of watching. So I don't know. I think that the Steelers could be pretty good. I really like their draft. I like the Bears as well. Those are my two teams. But if I was to pick an overall team, and Keaton kind of called this beforehand, I think I would have went with the Colts too. Like, they were A++ to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like that. I mean, realistically, there's 32 teams vying for, you know, 256 spots. So some teams are going to overperform. Some teams are going to kind of, you know, very, very, very disastrously have a draft, you know. But then there's also going to be some teams that we like that people just don't talk about because it was just kind of a nothing burger of a draft, kind of a mid thing. And so one of the things that we wanted to do was just kind of go through and find out some teams maybe that we saw during our, you know, first round coverage and then the rest of the draft coverage that had a mid draft. So, Ant, you want to go ahead and lead this off?
Yeah. So the team that I thought that kind of had like not bad or good, just like kind of mid, was the Eagles. The only reason why I say this too is because I felt like personally that there weren't a lot of players that they picked that just really stood out, you know, not saying that they're a bad team or they're going to be bad or whatever. Just there weren't enough that like really stood out like, oh shit, like that's a solid pick, right? Mm-hmm. Like realistically, the only one that I really saw was their first pick, Quinnen Mitchell. That's how you say his name, right? Yeah.
Quinnen Mitchell.
He's a beast, dude. The guy is running the second fastest 40-yard dash. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He ran the second fastest 40-yard dash of all the corners at the combine with a 4.33. Like super good overall, but I don't know, like just the other ones, like they had an edge. They got a running back when they didn't need to draft a running back. I didn't understand that at all. They drafted two receivers. They got a linebacker. They got two guards. And that was it. I don't know. Right. I just felt like personally that their draft, like they probably could have done something else, but it just seemed like to me personally that there wasn't a lot that just really stood out with their draft.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they had a decent draft until kind of the late round. Like I really like Cooper DeJean and I do like Quinnen Mitchell, if that's how you say both their names, but after that, it's really like, why would you draft a running back? You know, like,
no, exactly. They don't need a running back.
To me, then you go running back, wide receiver, linebacker, which I feel like it should be almost in reverse. Like you should have went linebacker, running back, wide receiver. Like if anything, you needed a defensive part to fit into that defense, which would be linebacker. If it's not cornerback and you already got a cornerback in those first two picks, I'm not sure, honestly. I also don't really know about Jalix Hunt. Do you guys know who that is? Houston Christian. Nope. I've never even heard of this guy, and that was their third round pick. So, bit of a head scratcher with that one. I do like the first two picks, and I really like Johnny Wilson at the sixth round pick. But other than that, I'm kind of with you, Anthony. But I'm also kind of a hater for the Eagles. So,
no, that's fair. Good, but I mean, as long as you guys see what I'm trying to say, at least,
yeah, then, for yeah, sure.
Like, for sure. Just like exactly. I think Zach explained it perfectly. It's a head scratcher. You know, it's kind of like eh.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand.
Keaton?
Yeah. A lot of teams to choose from here. I was kind of going through some draft boards last few days, and really I think the team that caught my eyes is one of the more mid rounds I've seen in a long time is Miami. Miami's a team that last year, you know, had a lot of hopes and aspirations of could this be the year that they make a Super Bowl? Could it even be a year that they win the division? They started out on that note, and then they proceeded to sell pretty much the rest of their games. I think it was what they lost 9 of their last 11 or something like that, yeah. 8 of their last 10, and then lost the crucial game to Buffalo, barely clinched a wild card spot, you know, didn't really do anything after that. They have a lot of needs, right? Miami feels like this like perennial team that so close yet so far. And they can always start strong, but they can never finish it off. And they, you know, their record against teams above 500 over the last like 5 seasons is atrocious. And
isn't it like one win to whatever the losses is? I'm pretty
sure I think they had one win in like the last 2 seasons. It's like one in like 13. It's really not good. Don't quote me on that. That is a stat off the top of my head. I don't know that stat. Okay, yeah, you little YouTube trolls. Get out of here with it. Actually, no. Come at me. You know what? Increase my engagement. Anyway, Miami had a lot of needs. I felt like specifically their biggest need was probably offensive line. Tua for the last like 3 years has been one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the NFL. He's also been the forefront of the CTE conversations as quarterbacks start to, you know, get less and less. Or I guess they get more and more protection and calls. Tua does not get that, man. Like Tua gets the calls, but Tua does not have a ton of protection, and I think Miami really needed to prioritize that this year, and they didn't. Well, I guess they kind of did, right? So they started out with Chop Robinson, Penn State. I think Chop's an absolute dog, okay?
I did too.
I think he's going to be an absolute animal. Yeah, Penn State, the last edge rusher that they produced that I thought was going to be this good, Micah Parsons. Although Micah Parsons didn't have as much hype, I don't believe, coming out. I could be wrong on that. Was he a top –
He was extremely
What was he? What was he, what was he drafted? Because I always thought he was in the second round or third round. Anyway, Chop's a dog. I got nothing to hate against Chop. The problem I do have is that in the fourth round, they pick up Jalen Wright. Okay? Jalen Wright's a running back. That is not one of their positions of needs. They don't need a running back. They have two very, 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 very good running backs. So, okay, you're thinking third back, you know, third down back. Maybe both are injured, whatever. Okay, fine. You don't go for a fourth round pick, especially when to that point, all you had gotten was an edge rusher, which, yeah, you needed, and a tackle, which they did need. They proceeded to get another edge rusher. Then they got a wide receiver. Then they went out and got a safety and then another wide receiver. They didn't get any guards. They didn't get a cornerback. They didn't really get anything. They got a safety, 2 wide receivers, 2 edge rushers, a running back and a tackle. The first 2 players that they got, great. I don't know. It's kind of head scratching. You already have, you know, one of the most dominant receiving cores in the NFL, and you don't go out and get a tight end to boast that. You get 2 wide receivers that are in late rounds. Just a head scratcher, especially when Buffalo just lost a lot of their players. You could really capitalize on this, you know, on this offseason. I don't necessarily feel like they did in a way that they should have. But it wasn't the worst draft. They got 2 good players, so that's why they're not the worst team.
They also didn't do much in the offseason as well. Like, I feel like they just got worse, if anything.
They've been quiet. They've been really quiet.
Which is not ideal. I mean, I guess it can be decent in that division, but Not in the AFC, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
They better bank on winning that division because that AFC wild card is not going to be open for them if they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually my hot take. I don't think the Dolphins are going to make the playoffs next year, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay, well, that leaves me. So I think the team with the most mid-draft was the Raiders. And again, some people might say, oh, you're a hater because you like the Niners. I genuinely just kind of watched this draft and started scratching my head when they picked Brock Bowers. It just did not make much sense to me. You honestly have one of the best receiving cores and offenses in the league besides a quarterback. And I get Bo Nix was just picked at 12. You have the 13th pick, but
your biggest need is a quarterback. I think JJ McCarthy was still picked. Bo Nix was still up. Bo Nix didn't go till 15, I believe. I could be wrong 12. Again. I could be cooking. I'm sorry, he was 12. That's right, because yeah. Okay. Ignore me. Ignore me. I'm capped.
So I understand the first six quarterbacks were taken off the draft, which again, we've talked about this. That was insane, not only to me, but to you guys as well. But like if you're not gonna do anything in the draft to get a quarterback, I feel like, at least in the first round, I feel like you need to do something to bolster your team in a spot that you're not stacked at. You have a ton of guys that are going to catch the ball next year. A ton of guys. You already have a tight end. You already have two great wide receivers. And now you draft Brock Bowers, who is, I don't know, they're saying a fucking hybrid of a tight end and a wide receiver. He's a tight end, right? He just doesn't make a lot of sense to me because he's a really good blocker as well. And to me, you already have Michael Mayer. It's like, why would you draft a guy that, what'd you say?
You just drafted. No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, like
I'm agreeing with you.
Right. And like to me, it just doesn't make a lot of sense drafting a guy that you already have a guy there that's decent enough to get the job done, if not better than decent. Like he showed last year that he's good. And then you guys have Devontae and what's the other wide receiver? I'm blanking on his name right now.
I'll find out right now.
Oh my god, he was such a dog. He came from the Patriots.
I'm finding it out right now. Michael Gallup, Jacoby Myers.
Jacoby Myers. Jacoby Myers, who honestly, and thank you, Anthony, in a lot of the games was the wide receiver one when Devontae didn't show up. So you have so many pass catchers that it just doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
We moved down the list, right? And I forgot to say this, but they need a quarterback, cornerback, offensive tackle, offensive guard, and running back. Which running back doesn't really make sense to me, but we'll get into that. I think maybe – if not the best pick of the draft, one of the best picks of the draft was Jackson Powers Johnson. So that's why I'm kind of saying it's mid. I don't really like Brock. I think he's a great talent. He doesn't fit into that offense, in my opinion. And I think in a different situation, he's going to be great or he could have been great. I just don't really see it with the Raiders unless they get rid of some guys where he can actually show off his skills that he did in college. But Jackson Powers Johnson, I think, was one of the best players in the draft. And he went – where did he go? Let's see. He went – oh, my God, it doesn't show. He went in the second round, 12th pick in the second round. So what is that, 44? He went 44, and I thought he was one of the best players in the whole draft. So I love that pick. The rest of them, I don't really know. Damar Glaze, I feel like, is decent. And you pick a cornerback from Mississippi State, that does not really make sense to me. And they also say they need a running back, which I don't think they really do, but maybe for a backup, because I really do like the dude from Georgia, Zamir White. But again, this is all ESPN saying this, but you go from the center, who I think was the best pick of the draft, if not one of the best picks. I don't know if I'm going to say the best, but one of the best picks. And then you pick an offensive tackle, Damar Glaze. I'm not really sure who he is from Maryland. Hopefully he's decent. Richardson, a cornerback, and I don't think he needed a cornerback, really. I think their young cornerbacks did well last year. I think it was just about getting home with the pass rush that kind of fucked them. So I kind of question that one in the fourth. I don't really get it. Tommy Eichenberg from Ohio State, I don't really know who that is, but linebacker is one of the positions I feel like they did need, so I like that. Dylan Laub from New Hampshire, I don't like the running back pick. Trey Taylor, the safety, I'm not a big fan of as well. And then MJ Devonshire from Pittsburgh, a cornerback as well. So you pick two cornerbacks, and do I really think they needed a cornerback like that? No. Do I think they should have picked Brock? No. So I think it was probably as mid as it could have been. I think I really want to give them a C. Like, and Brock is a fucking great talent. I think he's the second best talent in the whole draft. But
I think he's the most athletic player in this whole draft. However,
it doesn't make sense.
Just the fact that you go and they use their second round pick for Michael Mayer last year. So to so to go for a tight end, which don't get me wrong, Brock Bowers, probably the best tight end I've ever seen since, you know, Arizona Gronk. But to that point, it doesn't, there's so many tight ends. A tight end is a position that you could like completely smoke in the third, fourth, fifth round. You could totally find good guys. And don't get wrong, Brock Bowers is a first round talent. And I think he's probably a top 10 player in the entire draft, but just, it's not, I just don't see that being the right team. That being said though, to play devil's advocate for the Raiders, I think because Michael Mayer is someone who's more like a block first tight end, we could totally see that Brock Bowers being that he's like a slot guy. They're going to be on the field a lot. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to me.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of it too. Like, do you draft Brock in order to kind of pound the rock too? Because you think about it, they did use Michael in a position where he did do pretty well in the tight end position, at least receiving wise. But Brock is like George Kittle. That's his comparison. Dude's a fucking freak at blocking. So I'm like, are you just going to pound the rock with Zamir?
I am. And see,
are you going to try to do like a two tight end set and then maybe bring him in when you have multiple wide receivers? Because he could play wide receiver too. I just, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I don't get it. It felt like they were rushed into it. They got blindsided. So, you know, what are you going to do?
I mean, we said this on the actual live itself, but I mean, I think they just picked the best person available. That's really what they did. They didn't know what to do, which sucks for the Raiders because I don't know if he's going to do well in that system. I think he's good enough where he could do well pretty much in any system, but it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You know,
too many mouths to feed. I agree.
But moving on.
Yeah.
Keaton, you can go or I can go.
No, you're good. Go ahead. Lead this into the next one.
Cool. Well, moving on, we're going to get into the team that had the worst draft in our opinions, and it's not even close. The Giants. No fucking clue what you are doing.
Hoop York.
I think we could choose between maybe a couple of teams, but the Giants just stuck out, man. Like, my God, dude.
Bad draft. Let's just bad pick draft. This up.
Like,
their bad first draft. Pick was fine.
We like Malik at number one. I don't think he's the second best wide receiver, but I like it. I understand it. Right?
I think he's the third. I think Roman's second. Yeah, but that's I'm biased. So I'm biased.
Let's just go through
the
it.
Giants.
They need a quarterback, a wide receiver, cornerback, offensive guard, offensive tackle. They got a wide receiver in Malik, and then they got a cornerback. Their cornerback that they got was, Andrew. I'm assuming that's how you say Andrew Phillips from Kentucky. He's decent, but this was in the third round. And you look at it and it's like, okay, what are they going to do with their quarterback situation? They didn't pick one. I know they don't like Daniel Jones. Like, that's been pretty evident at this point. So let's just go down the list and then we can all talk about it. So we said what they needed. They got Malik at 6 in the first round. Tyler Newbin, a Minnesota safety who I've heard is really good, but they don't need safety. And maybe they're thinking that they need to replace Xavier McKinney, who went to the Packers, going to be a great player, but for the Packers at least. But I don't know. I feel like that's kind of a reach. Like you don't really need him there. To me, it just didn't really make sense, you know? And I don't know.
I think
it was a reach. Like, he had a overall ranking of 52. You get him at 47, I believe that is.
Mm-hmm. 40, I truly think the Giants are so far away from. Yeah.
Get it.
It doesn't. I think the Giants are so far away from having an opportunity to compete in the playoffs. I mean, their division with Dallas and the Eagles, they're not going to be able to win that. So your only hope is maybe we compete for a wild card spot. And it doesn't make sense because most of the time those are guaranteed 4 losses. Like, you might be able to squeak out a few losses against either of those teams, but for the most part, you're going to get swept by both. That being said, if Daniel Jones, you know, if you're not going to go quarterback, protect your asset, at least, you know, maybe build up some value in him that you could use for next year. You know, when someone like Shador Sanders comes in to the draft, because you could clearly use a talent like his, whether or not he produces this year. But they didn't. They literally avoided the three most crucial pieces. So like I said, if you're not going to go quarterback, protect your asset, get offensive line, get guards, get somebody to protect, get a center.
And they didn't get one, dude.
And they didn't get one. Yeah.
Who's Tyrone Tracy Jr.?
Dude, that's what I'm saying.
Hold up. Let me just point this out. I'm looking at it. Tracy moved from receiver to running back in 2023 and showed promise at his new position. And he got drafted by the Giants as a running back now.
Dude, and I can see them wanting to draft a running back, but in the fifth round where you trade up to fucking get him, like yeah. What? They went from Andrew Phillips, cornerback, to Theo Johnson, fourth round, tight end. They don't need a tight end, to Tyrone Tracy, the one that Anthony just said, running back. Again, I could see it, but trading up for him does not make sense. And then pick Darius Mouso. How do you even say that? I don't know how to say that. I'm sorry if I'm disrespecting you. You might be a good player, but he led UCLA in tackles. And I mean, fuck, dude. He might be decent, but it doesn't make sense. You didn't need a linebacker either. You need either a quarterback or an offensive line to build your future, and they're just not doing it. They're not doing it.
And don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong about this. I think when you actually look at their roster, it's like, okay, they brought in Drew Lock. Like, that doesn't help, though. I watched Drew Lock play against the Eagles live in person. I saw flashes of what he could be, but those are the same flashes we've seen for the past five seasons, including last year. And it's a lot of good with also just a lot of characteristically ugly passes that he's always had himself involved in, even since he played at Mizzou. And I mean, he could produce, but again, you can't expect the guy to be good. Even if you trade for him, you can't expect the guy to be good if you can't build around him. You can't. You're putting a Bryce Young in the same situation, right? You don't have an offensive line. You can't build around it. And they didn't get anybody. And they have a lot of offensive players, but all of their centers, not great. I'm looking at their guards, not great.
It's just kind of sad, dude.
John Runyon's the only guy of note that I'm looking at. I'm like, oh yeah, I recognize this guy. Evan Neal, bust. Let's see. Who's another guy that they just drafted? Thomas. I guess you could say Darren Waller, but you know, Darren Waller's not a lineman. So Jimmy Morrissey, not a great player. What?
Do they still have Thomas?
Thomas.
Or no, excuse me.
Oh, Andrew Thomas. Andrew Thomas.
Andrew Thomas too. Yeah, they have him.
Evan Neal was
the one that I was thinking about. That's ass. And now he is.
Evan Neal sucks, man. And now he's going to be backup. It's kind of a head scratcher.
And why do you pick a fucking tight end?
That's my point.
Daniel Bellinger and Darren Waller. Both have been solid in their careers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, and one of my bigger reasons why is I kind of think back to the Seahawks game. And, you know, this is one of the few times I paid very close attention to the Giants as a football organization, because at this point they started out atrocious. I think they hadn't, like, they went like two straight games without scoring as well. So obviously their offense was just not hitting on any level whatsoever. But I just want to break down this box score real quick. And this was early in the season, but it was kind of a continued thing throughout. One of the biggest things is the Seattle. Let me get the defensive. So Daniel Jones had two interceptions, two fumbles, and there were 11 total sacks committed by the Seahawks, with 10 tackles for loss and 55 solo tackles. They didn't address that. And just being honest, Seattle's defense by the end of the year was stinky. Stinky. That was like literally
their
only.
They did not have a good pass rush. I could say that.
They didn't. And don't get me wrong. Uchenna Nwosu was absolutely balling during that early part of the season. And Boye Mafe was playing great. But they didn't address the crucial pieces. I don't care if you spend your whole draft to just get four offensive linemen. Do it.
Honestly, that's what they should have done.
They have the worst.
Malik. I understand Malik is great, but you can't even get him the ball now.
I know. And he's
the quarterback
and his comparison.
The offensive lineman's ass. There's nothing.
And his comparison, his player comparison is Jalen Waddle. Jalen Waddle is not a guy that's just going to go out there and get like 15 yards on a slant. Yeah. Jalen Waddle is an over-the-top receiver who just busts coverage. You can't buy a quarterback 2 seconds of time with this offensive line. I'm sorry. Unless you're expecting Evan Neal to come out and perform like he, you know, like his first-round draft pick potential.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's head-scratching. And Drew Locke's not a fast quarterback. He's not a runner. Daniel Jones is quicker. So, yeah, anyway. That's that bad draft. Ant, do you have not anything to add before we another move on?
Nope.
Oh, go ahead.
Another one that I kind of wanted to give an honorable mention to was the Bills. We had that written down earlier, but the Bills, just again, kind of a head scratcher. Don't really know what's happening in that division. That division probably is the most unpredictable division right now, in my opinion. If I was to say a winner, I think I would go with the Bills or Jets. Honestly, yeah. But we'll do our predictions later down the line. I just wanted to say that because I'm like, I don't really get what Miami's doing. The Bills don't really make sense. They also drafted a wide receiver that I fucking love. I think Keon's going to be great there. But after that, it was just head scratching.
Yeah, I agree.
But moving on to our next topic, we want to get into the biggest surprises of the draft. Anthony, do you have any that stuck out to you?
Why was Penix drafted that early?
I like this one. Dude. Yeah. I like this one. I can say it for 30 seconds.
Hold on. Let's just do this at the same time. Yeah. I think those first 12 were extremely surprising. No one expected Penix or Bo Nix to go in the first 12. So let's talk about both those. Keaton,
Go for it. I'll start with the Penix one. Obviously, I'm huge on Penix. I think if you take out the 4 season-ending injuries that he had, pretty big question mark there. But I truly think he's got the most talent of any quarterback. He's just kind of got the worst situation of any quarterback, not in terms of his like his situation with the team, but his physical. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That being said, Atlanta needed a lot of things. Quarterback was not one of them. They surprised everyone in the draft by taking Michael Penix. The biggest, the only play on devil's advocate I could say here is that Michael Penix is kind of a future Jordan Love style asset pick. The issue with this, though, is that when you drafted, you know, this kind of the philosophy is that they drafted him like Jordan Love. The problem is Jordan Love was a raw talent that was drafted later in the, you know, in later in. And you're like, OK, we can develop him for a few years. It also energized Aaron Rodgers enough to go out and perform really well, which helped Jordan Love play. Kirk Cousins is too nice of a guy. Hey, I'm happy to have you here, man. They didn't tell me, but that's okay. And don't get me wrong, Kirk Cousins coming off of Kirk Cousins, a little bit older, coming off a pretty big injury. The problem is you're in win now mode. You just paid a guy $120 million through a 4-year contract, all of that being guaranteed, minus the other 60 that's locked in. Penix wasn't going to be there throughout the first round. He was going to be gone, right? It shouldn't have been to the Falcons. I think it could be a great pick if he plays in the next 2 years, but now you're asking a 26-year-old quarterback 2 years from now to perform like a rookie player. Doesn't make sense. Just doesn't really make sense.
Realistically, to me, he should have dropped to the Raiders. They were probably very upset. That's probably the most realistic thing I could have seen happening. It didn't make sense. Like, why would you pick Michael Penix when you have Kirk Cousins? Like, you just paid him over $100 million. It just was a head scratcher. That one was the biggest surprise of the draft. After that, though, I think it was Bo Nix. And to me, Bo Nix, in my humble opinion, was not a first round draft pick. I don't think he had any quality to be a first round draft pick at all. I think he was a second grade type of guy or second round type of guy. And he had that grade throughout the whole draft process, too. And so I went digging a little bit and I looked into it and it said that Sean Payton really liked his attitude, like how smart he was, how good he was in the interview. And I'm like, okay, let's really just dive into this. Oregon was so talented that they got to a point where they had to change their offense to be around this guy because he could not throw a ball when it mattered. That's exactly what his tape shows. That's what the play shows. That's literally what his stats show, which are very skewed whenever anyone goes, oh, he led the CFL and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, he led it because he let his playmakers do the work. You look at Oregon, they were stacked.
They had so many players.
Everything shows it. Like, everything. His stats were skewed. The plays were literally developed for him. He would dump the ball off and give his playmakers a chance. And again, I get it, but a first round pick just because you like the attitude of the guy doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I didn't like it. And I know the Broncos needed a quarterback. I just wouldn't.
Denver fans are I've talked to like four Denver fans. They're so psyched about Bo Nix. I don't understand why. I think he could be good. You know, if you think about his like increase in production and efficiency over the last few years, I don't see it as a total playmaker. He doesn't have the best arm. He's you know, he's quick, he's efficient, but one of his biggest things, and it's kind of the Michael Penix thing, when he loses his first or second option, his efficiency stats tank. And also, I think I also think the reason why he goes as high is Sean Payton. Truth be told, I think he's so used to Drew Brees, which is why he couldn't work with Russell Wilson. This is the closest thing to Drew Brees he's going to be able to get in this draft. And if he doesn't perform in this draft, he might be out. So you kind of had to go and get this guy because Zach Wilson is not him. I don't think Bo Nix is going to be either, but now you're asking both of these quarterbacks to go ahead and compete for a starting position. And if Bo Nix is clearly not ready for the NFL, you're going to basically be throwing him out to the Sharks. And especially against the Raiders, Chargers, and Chiefs, who all just got, you know, who either all have good defensive players or just retooled with defense. So
I saw a video, and I believe it was for Denver. Correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a GM and a coach talking. The GM was explaining to the head. I don't know if it was Sean Payton, actually. It might have been for Atlanta, but there was a video where one of them were talking and trying to explain the pick. I believe it was Atlanta.
And I think it was Atlanta.
That press room, I'm not even going to call it a press room, that draft room or whatever you want to call it, because
it's pretty wild.
Was through the roof with tension. You could just tell that the guy was not happy. I don't know who the GM is for Atlanta, but he was not happy with that pick. But Sean Payton was dapping everyone up in their draft room. He loved it.
He was pumped. I think Bo Nix could be a really good player. I don't know.
They're happy about it.
I think Bo Nix. Yeah, I think Bo Nix is a guy that's going to have to sit for 2 years, at least a season. Yep. I don't think he can produce right away, but then you're asking what, Zach Wilson to perform? Yeah. So it's a weird one. It's a head scratcher. I think they needed a quarterback no matter. I don't think that was the best pick. Then again, though, JJ McCarthy's already taken off the board. They're going to suck. So what you're asking them to take Joe Milton the third, or you're asking them to take Spencer Rattler in the fifth. So last one we had, Zach, you know, if you want to talk about this, this is a head scratcher for you. I think he's going to be a dog, but it doesn't necessarily feel like the biggest position in need at the time that you needed it.
I couldn't believe this, honestly. And I'm not like super angry about it still, but when we watched it, man, I could not believe the name that I heard. And I know Ricky Pearsall was really good, but the 49ers drafting a wide receiver at 31 might have been the worst draft pick that I've seen in years. Like, and I'm not saying Ricky is going to be the worst player, but for what they needed, an offensive tackle or a cornerback was the only position in my eyes that made sense there. It was the only one, not a wide receiver. And what I think makes me a little bit upset is you draft a wide receiver like that basically for your future. What you're telling your fans is this: we can't sign these guys. No matter what, we're drafting a guy that we think can replace him. Again, Ricky is great. His skill sets are perfect for Brock in the 49ers offense. Super physical, great blocker, crazy good hands, loves to go down the middle. So I love it. I love it all. But you look at our team, bro. Where does he fit in? If we sign everyone, where does he fit in? We have Debo. We have Brandon Ayuk. We have Juwan Jennings. Those are our three wide receivers. We don't play with typically four wide receiver sets. And when we do, it's a fast guy like Richie James or someone in the slot. Ricky does not remind me of a guy like that. And he reminds me of a guy that's exactly like a Brandon Ayuk or a Debo, loves to go down the middle. He's more of a Brandon Ayuk to me, but it's a head scratcher to me. I don't really get it, but I love the talent, and the dude in interviews is fucking perfect. Like, he fits our culture so well. So he's really grown on me. I just think it was probably the worst thing that they could have done for trying to become a Super Bowl winner instead of continuing their over a couple of years. Like, if you're going to go all in, go the fuck all in. Like, pick Kool-Aid, pick an offensive lineman. Don't pick a wide receiver that you think is going to be good for you in the future. it didn't make sense to me, especially if you're a team trying to go all in. So That's fair. We talked a little bit about Brock too. Brock Bowers kind of a surprised or kind of surprised us, a big surprise, I think, in the draft, but it made sense.
He's talented enough that he'll perform.
I mean, the whole draft itself was crazy. I thought the Niners had like a B minus draft, maybe a C plus. Yeah. I really didn't enjoy Ricky, but I think he could be good. But that leads us into our biggest fall off of the draft. And these guys, to me, were some of the guys I thought were going to go much, much higher. And I know that you guys thought that as well. Keaton, is there a guy that kind of sticks out to you?
Yeah, I thought Cooper DeJean falling where Cooper DeJean fell is pretty shocking. Overnight, I mean, literally without him doing anything detrimental to his stock, he fell from a mid to you know, 20th overall second round or first overall pick to the 40th overall pick. I mean, he dropped about 20 spots from the projected. Now, he still went to the Eagles, so the Eagles, you know, who were hyped to take him, did get their guy in the long run. But it's surprising because I think Cooper DeJean is probably the most athletic cornerback in this entire draft, and just his versatility. He's kind of a Swiss Army knife. However, Zach, to your point, I do think that he is in the wrong position. I totally believe he's a safety with cornerback instincts, which could play like a Quandre Diggs, who could have been a cornerback but decided to go free safety and balled out because of it.
I don't know. That one kind of surprised me. And I'm glad, I'm being completely honest, I'm glad the Niners didn't pick him. Just because I think he is a safety, like I told you. I think he's a Swiss Army knife, but I think he's a Swiss Army knife that has a better talent with the thing that he's more instinctual with, which is safety. He doesn't play very physical at cornerback, and I think he's going to struggle because of that. But he's extremely instinctual, and he's extremely, extremely explosive and athletic, which, again, makes sense as a safety. I don't know how big he is necessarily. Do you know how much he weighs? I think he's
he's 6'1", 203.
Yeah, about 205. So he'd have to put on a little bit of weight, or he's going to have to just get more physical. Another one that really shocked me and really honestly upset me that Niners didn't pick him was Kool-Aid McKinstry. I thought he could have been one of the best defenders in the whole draft. I thought by a mile that he was the best cornerback in the draft. And then I started digging into it because I didn't understand why he dropped to the second day, right? And he's dealing with a foot injury. So he didn't go to the combine because he has a Jones fracture in the pinky toe side of his foot. Let me just read this out. It says, McKinstry won't work out in Indy, but is expected to do so at Alabama's Pro Day, which he ran a 4.47 there, by the way, with a broken foot. A Jones fracture is a break of the bone on the pinky toe side of the foot on the fifth. I'm not going to try to pronounce that. Such fractures can occur from increased training or running on uneven surfaces. So he had basically a stress fracture in his foot, and that's why his draft stock plummeted. But he went to New Orleans, to the Saints. He went to the New Orleans Saints, and that's a steal to me. That's a steal. I couldn't believe it, dude. Like, I was so upset the Niners didn't pick him, honestly. I was, and I think he's going to be great. Even Nick Saban said it. He was the best defender they had. So to me, it just didn't make a lot of sense. And it is what it is.
It's crazy. And then we have a few more things to talk about before we get wrapped up here. One of the big ones is the biggest sleeper of the draft. There was a few players Zach already talked about. Jackson Powers Johnson and how he thinks, and I also myself think he's going to be one of the better players that comes out of this draft, potentially Hall of Fame level, you know, player. And what's projected of him, I think there's a player named Trevon Wallace who I'm going to pull up his stats right now. Oh my God, I'm falling apart right now. I think it was round three because I. Trevon Wallace didn't really get a ton of looks at Kentucky. He fell to the 73rd pick. He is rated as the 5th best linebacker in the draft at the moment, but he was one of the fastest players in the entire draft, running a 4.51 as a 6'1", 240-pound linebacker. He also had really good quarterback efficiency stats and getting to the ball on time. And he's got super long arms. So anything he does to, like, extend to try and get a ball, he can get. within reach. So I think he's a really good player. I didn't watch like a ton of highlights on this kid. It's hard sometimes too. I think he's there's a lot of players to go through, but I was kind of looking through everything and he's one guy that really, really sticks out to me. Also fantastic tackler. I think that's something that isn't really talked about. He is one of the better tacklers and wrap up guys in the league. So that'll be,
I'll make this quick, but I honestly think the linebackers were the most underrated position in this draft. Named one, Edgerrin Cooper. This dude is a fucking freak, bro. He is one of the most downhill linebackers I think I've seen since, oh my gosh, what was his name? The one that we drafted from Alabama. Oh, it's going to bother me now. Alabama. Hold on, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he is the number one rated linebacker out of the entire draft, and he still fell to the 46th pick overall. Yeah. Now he was his overall rank was 42, so he fell about where his rank was. But
I can't remember. Once it pulls up, I'll say it. But he's a beast. And then Peyton Wilson's a guy that I obviously said earlier. He ran a 4.43. I thought it was a 4.34. Excuse me, but still insane at 235 pounds. He had a 1.54 second 10-yard split, which is like unheard of for a linebacker. 35-inch broad jump, or excuse me, vertical jump, 9.11 broad jump. He's a freak of fucking nature too. So that was another guy that I really liked. What's his name, dude?
Oh, go ahead. No, you're good. Well, we're finding that. We're gonna move into our last segment. We also picked our favorite players. Our favorite draft pick from each of our favorite teams. So Anthony being a Patriots fan, I kind of wanted to let you talk a little bit. We haven't heard much
about Reuben Foster. Today.
Thank you.
Sorry. Yeah. Oh my God. That was going to bother me.
T.Y. Foster. And what are your thoughts who's your favorite player out of this draft? What are your thoughts, about Patriots?
Asking me for my favorite player for the draft as a Patriots fan. It's kind of rough because we need a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of have two.
I'm sorry.
One. I am going to go with Jalen Polk and Drake May. First two picks.
Okay.
I love it. Drake May. I love it. We'll have a fresh quarterback in. Hopefully we don't fail him because that would be really, really shitty of us to do that. But I think that he's a good, he's a good quarterback. He's got a cannon on him for sure. And I think adding Jalen Polk in there too, I think that's going to be a great combination right there. I think those two are definitely going to ball out together. Jalen Polk, I will say he needs to be a starter instantly though for us. Like that should be a no brainer, no question. He needs to be starting. I don't care if it's wide receiver one or wide receiver two.
KJ Osborne's there.
So I'm saying either wide receiver one or wide receiver two. Needs to be out there.
Yeah, yes. KJ Osborne's wide receiver one, dude.
Yeah, on every team.
On every team.
With Bobo?
Absolutely. Yeah. Him and Jake Bobo, 1A, 1B. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, but I will say overall, I am actually so happy with this draft. I haven't said that in a few years now. Like, I'm actually very happy. Was a little concerned, though, before going into it, because I was like, don't take J.J. McCarthy. Please don't. That's all I really wanted. I was like, I don't want them picking him up, because that would have sucked. Yeah.
And I'm really happy that you guys didn't either.
Yeah, that would have sucked. I would have been like, okay, this draft is already over. But overall, I liked it. Both those players, our first two picks, Drake May, Jalen Polk. Great. I'm happy with it.
Love it.
Oh, yeah.
So that's my take. Zach.
Well, obviously, I didn't really like Ricky, and he's starting to grow on me. But I think our second round pick was easily our best, and that was Ronaldo Green. The dude's a freak, honestly. Yeah. Might be a little biased here, but I think he might be one of the sleeper of the drafts, too. And the reason I say that is because he is a true cornerback one. He lined up against every single wide receiver one that there was. And when they played actually LSU in their first game of the season, he held Malik to 6 receptions and 64 yards, 0 touchdowns throughout the game. Now, with that being said, their whole team did. But he, I believe, caught only 2 passes on Ronaldo the whole game. So I'm really happy about it. He runs a 4.49, a 10-yard split of 1.53 seconds, that is. A vertical jump of 37.5 inches, a broad jump of 10 feet, 10 inches. So he's a little bit above average, I would say, for cornerback, at least athleticism-wise. But he is extremely physical, loves to hit. And he, honestly, with just those two qualities, is going to fit in great with the Niners defense. That plus being able to follow wide receiver one, which we've never had, or we haven't had in at least this Super Bowl contender era, I'll say. It's just different. Like, it's just going to be different. And I think that he could be really good. I'm really praying that he's good. And I might be glazing him a little bit. But if he could follow wide receiver ones, and it's him and Tre'Davious Ward on two different sides, and maybe he doesn't need to because Ward's there, but if they could just be like the lockdown guys on two different sides, I'd be extremely happy.
You're biased.
Happy. That is really biased, dude.
I knew you were going to say that. I was just waiting for it. I could just see you fucking smiling. Like, I will say though, with you guys, I honestly do think Drake May is going to be the other generational quarterback from this draft.
Oh God.
If you guys do not know, I think Caleb Williams is going to be the best quarterback from this draft by a mile.
Yeah.
Keaton?
We'll see. I don't think Caleb Williams is that good. That's okay. I'm going to say, honestly, for me, probably Christian Haynes. Seattle took, let me pull up his name because I just butchered. Byron Murphy the second with the 15th overall pick, their first round draft pick, this year. And I loved him. You know, I've started to watch tape and I'm like, okay, trenches guy, Mike McDonald, absolute dog, regime change. We needed it. However, I really want an offensive line. Seattle for the last like 4 seasons has had a bottom 5 offensive line in all of football. It's evident Geno Smith could not stay healthy last year. I think Geno Smith's a really good player. He's one of the most, actually statistically, he's one of the most efficient clutch quarterbacks in the entire NFL. Fourth quarter stats, he was like ranked 2 or 3 in most statistical categories. However, he didn't get a lot of those opportunities because his team is getting blown out. So I really love Christian Haynes. We got him in the 3rd round. He's rated as the number 1 overall offensive guard in all of football. Even though he wasn't the first taken, super explosive 4-year starter, played every single game. I think he missed 1 game, but played almost every single game at UConn, which is something that we've needed. And also just going through our roster, I mean, we literally, other than Anthony Bradford, who had an okay season for us, we don't have a single guard that can just come out and play right away. We also got Sataoa Laumea from Utah. I tried to.
He's gonna be a beast. I don't need to hear anymore, bro. That name says it all.
Yeah, but he's another guard. We got four offensive players, and it really feels like for us, Mike McDonald really wants trench warfare. And that's what he did. And I think Christian Haynes is the perfect guy for it. Not the biggest, 6'3", 317. I think he's one of the smarter, and most technical offensive guards in the entire, what will be the entire NFL. I think he can really be a day one starter and impact at winning level. So yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Also just to shout this out, Seattle with their 6th round pick, got this go. Jesus. Got this guy named Michael Jarrell from University of Findlay in Ohio. This is the biggest nothing burger pick. Yeah, this is the biggest nothing burger pick I've ever seen. It is a D2 school. He was rated as the 391st overall player. And I genuinely don't know why he was drafted by Seattle.
Wait, what does he play?
He's an offensive tackle. He's 6'5", 294, so he's tall, but he's not that heavy. Kind of slim for his size. Findlay University University of Findlay in, let's see, where is this school? Findlay, Ohio. They are a D2 school for the Great Midwest Atlantic Conference. This guy doesn't even have a picture He doesn't even have a picture, like a combine draft day picture. So I'm expecting him to produce at a winning level.
He didn't even have a pro day.
No name dog. I don't think he had a pro day. I genuinely don't think he had a pro day.
Oh my
his pre-draft God, analysis said Jarrell started 40 consecutive games to end his college career. He has outstanding explosiveness and range. He has short arms for an offensive tackle prospect, and he needs to move from tackle to guard. Sign me up.
Not ideal. Right,
put me in there, man. Put me in there.
God, dude, that's hilarious.
So, yeah, it's pretty wild. That's anyway.
That reminds me of the dude that the Niners picked up from the rugby professional league. What was his name again? The running back?
I don't remember.
Like Hayes or something like that? I forget.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
That's crazy.
Real quick, guys, since we're on the football talk. In Dynasty, we have an update.
Okay.
So, I have the potential offer right now to get the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the 6th pick right now in the first round. People that are gone right now are Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Rome, Xavier Worthy, and Brock Bowers. Do I trade up right now or no?
What's the trade?
The one that Stewie offered me. That would be the 1-6, right? Mm-hmm. And Wilson, that one guy on the Cardinals, I think it is.
Yeah, Cardinals.
Michael Wilson. Mm-hmm. And I would give Stewie my 110 for Javonte Williams.
Yeah, I'm just not doing that.
Yeah.
What would you say, Keaton?
Not taking it. I zoned out halfway
Javonte's through. Javonte is just way too valuable.
I don't make trades. Any trade to me is a bad trade.
Look, I'll be completely honest. If you could have got like a generational guy at 1-6, then I would have said do it. But Javonte is just that guy. If he stays healthy,
And I mean, if you could get like generational, like KJ Osborne generational, I'd take it any day of the week. I'd throw the, you know, I'd give up $1 billion. So anyway, Anyway, that's the episode. Thanks so much for tuning in. Episode 31. Actually, this is 32. Because technically last week's episode was 31, but it was a live stream. I'll check it out already. Anyway,
32.
Next week we're gonna have a special guest on to talk some Giants football. Ironically, yep. Tell him about it. But that's it. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, and stay tuned for the next.
Please like and subscribe. Comment if you guys have anything to comment. That's funny, Anthony. I thought you were gonna say something. Nope.
Okay. Cool.